It's time for the podcast that redefines leadership for those that are seeking the truth on leadership. It's showtime with Asus Kampa, an internationally recognized expert on leadership, retired police chief, and CEO, who brings you groundbreaking interviews with the leaders of today who are changing the game to favor true leaders of vision as they lead through adversity and share their stories of adversity on the Leading Through Adversity LTA podcast. Here is your host, Asus Kampa, CEO of Leading Through Adversity.
All right, Podcast Universe, welcome back to another LTA podcast episode. Like always, I'm your host, Jesus Kampa, CEO and owner of Leading Through Adversity. Well, I guess the first thing we ought to do is congratulate the Baylor Bears for winning the NCAA basketball tournament Monday. What a game. It really wasn't much of a game. I was honestly cheering on for Gonzaga and hoping that they were going to win. As you all know, I'm stationed here and based out of El Paso, Texas, home of the UTEP Miners, the only Texas team to have ever won the NCAA tournament back in its heyday when we were known as West Texas University. Anyway, so congratulations to the Baylor Bears, who are now the second Texas team to win that NCAA tournament. So, moving on to our show, I'm really excited. This episode is just going to floor you all. For those of you who know who I'm talking about, Angel Rebo is just phenomenal. He is the CEO, confident. This man is a marketing genius, adversity genius. The guy is also based in Texas, and you know, the man is sought after throughout the world by CEOs on remarketing, strategizing, and all sorts of really cool stuff. And we had the opportunity to sit down and talk to him. So I want to stop talking and just let you all enjoy the show. Angel Rebo, the CEO confidant.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank you and welcome back to another episode of Leading Through Adversity. As always, I'm your host, Jesus Eddie Kampa, CEO and owner of Leading Through Adversity. Today, I'm very lucky and privileged to have Angel Rebo, CEO, the CEO confidant.
Exactly.
Yes, awesome. Angel, so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? We're very lucky to have you. I mean, you have a very extensive profile. So just, you know, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, I'm right now in Plano, Texas. I've lived here for the last 10 years. People basically know me online. I'm very, very active online, mostly on LinkedIn, but I'm all on all platforms. And what I do, I basically help both accomplished entrepreneurs and corporate CEOs to bridge the gap globally for expansion and exposure. You know, throughout the years, I've held more than 1,500 C-levels with their companies in 33 different countries. And although I was born, as I said before, in Barcelona, I've been blessed to living in so many countries and doing so much business internationally. And I have learned humbly a little bit of how to accelerate the growth of your business by going global, by going internationally. And you know, I left corporate America as many other people out there. I'm right now an entrepreneur. I have a small consulting firm of 11 people. And one of the main reasons why I do what I do is by living in Latin America, I really saw, you know, a lot of, you know, business thriving and a lot of subsidiaries from large corporations based in Latin America, but also I saw a lot of poverty. And I launched my nonprofit called Wisdom for Kids, and we help underprivileged kids in Latin America become entrepreneurs using their local resources. To be honest, I consider myself a connector of the unconnected.
Wow, that's awesome.
In Latin America alone, there are 81 million kids that live in poverty, and that's numbers from UNICEF in 2012. We're almost 10 years into that data. So probably right now, and after everything that has happened in the world, right now it's March 2021. The last 12 months, as you guys know, lots of things have happened in the planet. I'm sure that the number of underprivileged kids in Latin America has increased, and they need us like never before. And that's me. That's in a nutshell who Angel Rebo, the CEO confidant, is, Eddie.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I was really excited when I first found you and I started following you and reading you, and I was like, man, this guy is everything that I wish to become when I grow up.
Oh, thank you.
it was awesome. I mean, like you have an awesome life. So you brought it up. 2020 was a very adverse year for a lot of people, especially for a lot of your clients, I'm assuming, who were drastically impacted. I know we live in El Paso, and you know, when they shut down Mexico, the border, a lot of our downtown community went out of business. I mean, they were really impacted by a lot of adversity because their business came from Mexico, was driven from people coming over. So let me ask you a question. How do we deal with this adversity? How are we going to bounce back?
Yeah, so I think that throughout life, when we get comfortable with ourselves and our lives, I think that we keep on building boxes, right? We build different kinds of boxes around us. And literally, those are spaces artificially created by us that give us the comfort, give us the safety that allow us to live in that bubble, you know, comfortably and keep on doing things and living in that bubble. And I think that we have, I like the concept of boxes, because I think that we have several boxes. I mean, we have a box for the family, a box for the relatives, we have a box for friends, we have a box for colleagues, we have a box, you know, many different boxes. Adversity, in reality, adversity means that you are forced to look outside your box.
Absolutely.
And as we were just discussing before this conversation, I'm very familiar, you know, with El Paso, because I used to have a lot of clients on the other side of the border, Ciudad Juarez. And I used to also go to El Paso a lot. So I really picture very well what you just described. Mm-hmm. So I was blessed enough. I mean, I'm very, let's say, very involved here in the community in Plano, Texas, Dallas. Plano is a suburb north of Dallas. Mm-hmm. And I'm very often, you know, invited to be the jury of, you know, some startup, you know, weekends and weeks. And last year I was invited a couple of times to give a speech on how to pivot in times of crisis, and I think that when you were describing about the business owners that had to close down, mm-hmm. I mean, literally, I'm sure that they had to think, okay, so what do we do now, right? Because the market conditions have changed. Probably our customers are not there anymore, right? So because they're going to be like locked down, or they're going to be, you know, prevented from crossing the border for a while, and we don't know what's going to happen in the future. There's a lot of uncertainty. So I think that there's always like a baseline, and the baseline is your passion, regardless of what you have been providing your customers with, product or service. There's something called your passion. There's something else called your expertise. There's always people that have told you, my God, you're really good in that. You're really good in what you do. You know, it's really, really, really good on that. And I think that those two things, they will never go away. Okay. So you will always have that passion for doing something. And there will always be things that the rest of the people will acknowledge that we are really, really good at. So that, regardless of what happens around you, those two things are going to always be with you. That's why when you ask me what to do in times of adversity, well, those two basic things are still with you. So the thing is, okay, so number one, how do you get out of your box? So right now, picture yourself like going up the fence of your box, right? And trying mm-hmm. to look outside. Now the market has changed. So how has the market changed? You know, who is willing now to pay for a particular service? So take into consideration your passion and your expertise and start thinking about what other services or products you could be providing to your new entourage, right? To your new environment, the new realm that has been created around you, okay? Because again, when these people are not allowed to come to El Paso anymore, but they will probably have to, or there's many other things happening around it, right? So there's many other things that in El Paso itself are going to change. In the economy, many other things are going to change. So how can I serve this new audience using my passion and using my expertise? But it's also not only that there's going to be like clients, it's also how the clients think. So you might think, okay, Angel, but hey, I'm telling you that those business owners didn't have more clients because the clients were coming from the South.
Right.
But listen, but you're not realizing that the local clients, their mindset changed, because the reason why the ones from Mexico are not coming over is because something happened on a worldwide basis, right? And what happens in the mind of the new consumer? So the local consumers right now, their mindset changed a little bit, right? They are in fear, probably, right? Would you agree with me?
Oh, absolutely.
In general, we were, as you know, we've been for many months now. Now people are more like comfortable leaving the fear, right? Let's put it this way, right? I mean, again, I'm not taking sides, okay? So I mm-hmm. just want to make sure, because I'm the guy that always builds bridges. But knowing that the consumer, the way the consumer thinks has changed, What can you do to provide your service to your local community without expecting the one that's coming from the other side of the border? You know what I mean? So there's been a change, but the change is not only at the other side of the border. The change is everywhere. It's everywhere. So there's probably people locally that now will be willing to use your services and your products. And obviously there's a fourth leg to this, which is, are they willing to pay for it, right? So it's not only that there's a that the market has changed, that the potential clients and prospects have changed. It's also the money. Where is the money going to go? And again, when the market conditions change, when the people start having, you know, different issues and they have, let's say, a higher level of fear, they are going to be open to pay for other kinds of services. You know what I mean? So again, I like to, honestly, I like to define adversity as the perfect storm, to be honest.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's not like one thing that moves. It's many things that move. The thing is, how do you identify all those pieces that are moving, that have changed, and how can you benefit of all those pieces that have changed? And also, let me tell you, obviously, that sounds like rocket science, but it's not. And on something else, mm-hmm. it's much more simple than what it looks like, that what it sounds. And on something else, and that's one of my mistakes, main mistakes I made when I started my entrepreneurial career. I didn't ask for help. Ask for help. If you need help to pivot, if you need help, like to reopen your business and to see who you're going to serve, ask for help. Do it. I mean, time is the most precious, scarce resource that there is. Yeah. It's not money. As you know, I mean, we all have been in this position where we were really in a bad spot. We had issues paying our bills. I mean, we all have been there, but guess what? We're still alive and we're still, you know, thriving, you know? So there's something or someone that we should trust dearly, because they're always going to get our back. You know what I mean?
Right.
So again, look for help to pivot. Look for help for those that have done it or know how to do it. Just have an additional, you know, external opinion about this whole situation. And how can you, using your expertise and your passion, still provide service to your local community? I think it's an opportunity, to be honest, Eddie.
Angel, you know, that's perfect. And I love this conversation, because I love when I have people that are of the right mindset, as I call it, because to me, adversity is opportunity. You know, everybody has always told me, like, you know, my critic, I have a lot of critics because of my career. I used to be in law enforcement 27 years, and I used to be a chief of police. So I had a lot of critics, and they would always tell me, it's like, dude, every time you find yourself in an adverse situation, it's like you bounce higher. Why do you do that? How do you do that? So, well, because I look at it as an opportunity. You know, you're pitting me in a corner, but I got to look outside that box of my comfort zone. And I say, okay, this is what's going on. How do I make it better? And how do I keep moving forward? And one of the things that I've noticed, Angel, is that leadership is in a really hard place right now, as you saw, not to become political. I don't care what side you're on. But, you know, a lot of people this last political election were like, my God, these are the best choices we have. And you know, I think that we're missing a lot of opportunities in developing new leaders. And the leaders that we have today are so afraid to look outside that box. Why do you think that is? Why has it changed so much from the glory days?
Well, that's going to be an interesting conversation for sure. Eddie, and I appreciate you asking me this question. I have not had this conversation publicly with anybody, so it's going to be a great place to have it. And obviously I resonate 100% with you. And let me tell you something. Last year, for the first time ever, I was actually involved on a campaign. You know, I do a lot of things pro bono besides helping my, you know, underprivileged kids in Latin America. Last year, I was asked to support the National Police Week. As you know, every year there's a huge fundraising, and there's a ceremony in DC in which, you know, we celebrate all the officers that unfortunately are being killed in the line of duty. And last year, I supported that, you know, proactively, and we had, you know, thousands and thousands of views. I mean, I'm an influencer online, and I was gladly open to support this, and because a friend of mine who's very involved with law enforcement asked me, could you do that? And, you know, I'm making this introduction because, hey, we are here in this world to help each other. It doesn't make sense that we are here just to be fighting all the time. It makes no sense. If we were like born in this world and someone wanted us to be born in this reality, in this dimension, to be fighting and to be, you know, all the time, like, you know, trying to criticize the other and how to stab them in the back. And no. So, you know, I jumped into that opportunity bluntly because I wanted to help people. And in this case was people that had died in the line of duty. And I met so many amazing people, right? And again, people might take this conversation politically already. And I'm fine with that because you know what? My main concern last year when everything started, 12 months ago, actually, it's so funny, it's just 12 months ago. My main concern has been, how do I build bridges? How do I build bridges? We've burned so many bridges, Eddie, so many bridges. So to your question, I would suggest that we all try to develop a much more critical thinking. That's number one, okay?
Yeah, I agree.
Sometimes they're being asked, you know, it's like, it's not what we are being told in the news. It's like, who is the real source? What is the real source? And, you know, where are those sources? I mean, I want to see those sources with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, I still remember, you probably remember this, when Kindle was issued, that everybody said, no more hard copy books. Everybody's going to be reading books online. Obviously, a lot of people are reading books online, but guess what? Right now, one of my most important sources of information are books like hard copy books that were published many years ago that are giving me a different perspective of what's happening today.
Right.
And those books, it's not that someone, you know, just came up with a landing page and suddenly it's experts of health, whatever. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And suddenly they buy millions of dollars in traffic and they have 10,000 visitors a day. And suddenly those blog posts are the word of the Lord, with all the respects to the Lord, of course. You know what I mean? Yeah. So what I have done in the last few months, I have developed my own, I have searched thoroughly additional sources of information in order to contrast everything that I hear out there, because I want to have my own opinion,
right?
So you asked me a very direct question. What's happening with these political leaders that, you know, kind of, is that the best that we have? So I try to actually go to places, or I actually try to listen to people that are not like mainstream politicians, not the ones that, you know, are all day long either praising this or either attacking these others. As you know, most of them are attacking these others. And if you ask me why they do it, I understand it. I mean, it's been proven that the more in the center you are, the more you will be able to attract people, right? And people are, and I think that in general, we could say that if you are a public figure and you're running for some sort of office, you want to attract as many people as possible. So you're always trying to make sure that you attract the people that are going to resonate with what you're saying, correct? So I think that number one, we have to be genuinely addressing what the people need, genuinely, okay? Without any hidden agenda, okay? Okay. So I think that we have to look, it's gonna sound like maybe very soft, but I so believe in this because I have these conversations in corporate America every single day. We have to go into our hearts and less into our minds. We have to be able to listen from our hearts and speak from our hearts continuously. And you know, I mean, as much as I don't know, let's say you are in side A, politically speaking, and I'm in side B, and we are confronted with each other, right? Obviously, when you hear someone that uses a very nice argument against side B, you jump up and you're jacked up and you're super happy. I understand that. But at the end of the day, when the same thing may appear in your family in a very small setup, I'm sure, and if you're trying to teach one of your kids something, I'm sure that your reaction would be completely different. Why? Because you really love your son or your brother or your daughter, and you want to teach them a lesson. You want to actually not create distance, but you want to actually get closer to that relative of yours or to your kid to teach them a lesson, to inspire them with a lesson or with a teaching, right? So my question is, I agree with you. We don't see that in general in the public spectrum. We don't see that. Everybody has to take sides. Otherwise, they're not part of this world. And I disagree. I think that people want peace. People really want peace. They don't want to be arguing. Everybody has lost some friends. I'm not talking about viruses here. Everybody has lost some friends just because of the discussions, because of the arguments, because of the political fight, because of many other things, health fights. Well, you know this. Mm-hmm. We all have lost friends, relatives, acquaintances, colleagues. It is what it is. So I think that really what the people want is just to be in peace. We want to be in peace. We want to be focusing on, you know, thriving, creating wealth, creating comfort, feeling comfortable with our neighbors, feeling comfortable with our families, with our relatives. I know that eventually most of those relationships that we have broken throughout the last 12 months for any reason, I know that we'll eventually, because we are human beings, we will eventually like rebuild those bridges that were burned. Because, you know, we've been with these people for so long that we still love them. Very deep inside of us, we love them. And I think that's what's missing. I think that the answer to your question is inside of us, is inside of our hearts. And we should be leading our wives from our lives, from our hearts. I was having a conversation with a very, very powerful company that they are called Selling From Your Heart. And they have this corporate program, super powerful corporate program, helping companies sell, increase their sales, right? And they do it from their heart. So they tap into their heart to be able to generate more genuine, authentic relationships with their clients. Mm-hmm. And it's working out so well. And people are in need of connection today. Going into your heart, inside your heart, it's going to create much more connection with the rest of the world than anything else that you could use or you could say as a politician or as a public figure. Because, you know, you're a public figure, Eddie.
Right.
You are.
Well, no, actually, I am. And that's funny you say that because, you know, I like I said, I have a lot of critics. I was involved in some really bad issues that people were saying about me. And I actually tried. It was funny. I tried to sue these people. And you know what my attorney told me? They said, you can't sue them because you're a public figure and they can say whatever they want to say about you. And I was like, wow, I never wanted to be a public figure, but okay.
Yeah. Exactly. And you cannot control everything or everybody. And, you know, and it's tough. I'm not saying, you know, nobody likes to hear that others are criticizing you for no reason or for a reason that you don't agree with. But, you know, I mean, what can you do? That's why it's so important to go inside. It's the same as what we were discussing before when you asked me what to do with those businesses that have lost their clients. Again, it's to go inside to be able to go outside, but not the other way around. Don't base your decisions on what's happening around. I'm sure that in order for you to cope with that situation that was probably very painful,
yes,
right? You had
yes,
to go inside and take your psyche, right? Take your mindset and your attitude to a place where, you know, you could digest that, make it palatable somehow, and keep going.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And I love that, Angel. You're absolutely right. I mean, that was the only option you had is either you learn to adapt, you learn to pivot, as you said, and you keep moving forward, you know, and it's, you know, it's something that still haunts me to this day, because every time that, you know, I'm retired now, but now that when I was applying for different police chief positions, that story always followed me, even though it was just on a blog post. It wasn't even a real story. Somebody, you know, because we have a lot of keyboard warriors now that they write whatever they want and say, and like you said, no true expertise. They don't even know what they're talking about, but because it's on Google, it has to be true, right?
Exactly. So, that's why I said, I mean, why are you giving away your power? I understand that a lot of people are giving away their power very easily. And again, you know, it's great that you have had the positions that you have had, because you have a very specific way of seeing the world. You have seen the worst of the worst of the worst consistently.
Right.
You know what the human being is capable of doing. Isn't it crazy, Eddie?
He's sad.
Exactly. Crazy. You've seen the worst of the worst of the worst. So you feel a lot of compassion. Had you not had a lot of compassion for all those things that you saw in your life, you wouldn't be the person that you are today.
That's true. You know, and that's the funny thing is, you know, Angel, so we're talking about this and it leads me into another conversation about the same thing though, you know,
yeah.
So, and it's kind of like rebranding, you know, so yeah. like, you know, we've gone through this through the 2020, you know, different companies and corporations, you know, they've been in business for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. What's wrong with rebranding? And why is it that people have a hard time understanding rebranding? So for instance, let's just talk about me as a person. So I've rebranded myself. I'm not who I was 5, 10, 15, 20 years because I've grown. It's the same thing with companies and brands that you trust. Like for instance, why did, when Coca-Cola, do you remember when Coke introduced the new Coke?
Yeah.
Why did it fail? Why is it people have a hard time accepting a new brand?
Because we attach emotions to those brands. We attach emotions. So, and emotions is what makes us make most of the decisions. That's one part. And also behind those emotions, there's some, I would say some unconscious bias. I think that's a very nice term. Mm-hmm. There's an unconscious bias that we attach to those emotions and to those brands. So it's not so easy, as you said, it's not easy to launch a new brand. And why brands, I mean, and obviously you're making an example, you're mentioning an example, obviously they had billions of dollars probably to make that brand, you know, rebranding was going to work, but it didn't. So what did it show? I mean, that was obviously a very humbling experience for them. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that they learned a lot and they weren't able to probably tap into the same emotions. You know, I mean, as you know, I mean, these guys have been teaching us about anything. I mean, what about the polar bear for Christmas?
Oh, I love
who doesn't love, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say this. Who doesn't love the polar bear of Coca-Cola for Christmas?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, you would have him sitting next to you at Christmas Eve.
I'd have him right here, right now.
You see? Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, obviously there was something missing there. There was something that emotionally speaking, everything that they did in their campaign that wasn't able to really tap into what the people were expecting from the product and from themselves. And that's why it failed. And you said you are rebranding. Rebranding is extremely, it's challenging because we don't know how to do it. I agree with you. So the thing is, what's the number one thing that they should put out there about my brand? What should it be? How to position it? What are the words, right? And today I would say, answering that question, because I don't want to evade the response, I would say it's difficult to rebrand or to brand oneself because we miss, and that's probably that the most, well, number one, as human beings, when we speak very like in a 30,000 level feet altitude level. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but when you and I speak about the 30,000 foot feet level, people that are at the bottom, which is everybody, they will not understand us. Mm-hmm. So the number one challenge is how do you take your value proposition, what you propose, the value that you bring to the market, how do you take it to a ground level? That's number one. Number two, how do you use the right words to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Number three, and I think that's one of the most important things that people overlook is, what is the market looking for right now? That's what I actually talked about that before. The market, let's say the Google searches, so that people understand me, Google searches right now are different from Google searches 11 months ago or 10 months ago or 12 months ago. So right. Are you making sure that your service or your product is actually tackling something that the people really want? Have you gone to Google? Have you used the available tools out there to see what the people are looking for in your domain, in your industry, right? Whatever that is. And I think that's a very important part too. So what the market wants, what you want to do, what you want to offer, and how to express it in a way that the people really resonate with that. If you can put those three parts together, I think that you are off to a start. And my favorite business mantra, by the way, Eddie, my favorite business mantra is take imperfect action now. Take imperfect action now. That to say that you can take those three steps, and the most important thing to try your branding, go to the market. Go to the market, go to the freaking market now. Start talking to people. Start trying to sell your product or your service and see what they tell you. That's the most important feedback that you will ever get. And you know, and then you see, and then you change. You change maybe a few words, or you change a few statements, or you change some colors, or you change some logos, you know, but unless the rubber hits the road, you will never know that. I mean, I was talking to the director of a very famous business accelerator in the north of the country in Boston. And she was telling me five years ago, she was telling me, you know, 5 years ago, Angel, you needed around $150,000 to $250,000 to be able to launch a company, a startup that would disrupt the market. Today, and that was five years ago. Today, Angel, with only $5,000-$10,000, I've seen groups of kids, you know, 19, 20 year olds, launching disruptive technologies to the market that right now I know they're going to be making billions of dollars in a few years' time. Right. So what I'm trying to say is the most important thing is go to the market and expose your minimum viable product or minimum viable service to the market. Talk to the market, talk to the potential clients and prospects and see what they tell you. That's the best thing that you can do. And there's no wrong there because you are making, it's a reality check. It's a reality check. It's like when they tell you this area in the city is like, you know, it's very difficult. Don't go there. I mean, go there. I remember a lot of people when we came to Dallas, a lot of people used to tell me, hey, don't go to Oak Cliff. You know, it's a very bad area. I don't know if you know Oak Cliff in Dallas. Okay. So I have probably been like, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 times in Oak Cliff. You know why? Because there've been so many nice new businesses created there. And there's interestingly enough, there's a very, very nice incipient, you know, Latino community building businesses and restaurants and coffee shops and many other places. And, you know, the area is changing. So again, check the reality by yourself, go to the market, talk to your clients, and you will see what's really going on.
Awesome. Now, Angel, this is a new segment I've added to the show, and we've had some really good success. And this is where we kind of get to know you a little bit more as a human being. So there's a couple of questions that I ask. So like, okay, sure. Dog or cat person, Angel?
Excuse me?
Are you a dog or a cat person?
I am a dog person.
Ah, me too. Pineapple, does it belong on pizza? Yes or no?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Coke or Pepsi?
Oh my God. That's a difficult one. That's a very difficult one. Coke,
hands down. And of course, finally, peanut butter, crunchy or creamy?
Oh, crunchy.
Crunchy. All right. No, crunchy. All right. Well, thank you, Angel. That gives our audience a little bit more like, okay, he's normal.
He's not Superman. Yeah. You know, so. No. Just someone else. Yeah.
Awesome. Like I said, I was just really excited when I started following you and I saw the things that you were doing and stuff like that. And I said, I got to get him on the show. So I want to thank you for being on the show. But before we close out, I'd like to ask you, maybe two more questions here. And I guess question number one is, you know, there's a lot of people right now in the unknown, okay? And there's a lot of people who are dealing with adversity, lost their jobs, and don't know what to do. And some people may have a little bit of money, or like you even said, I mean, you hit it right now. It doesn't take a whole lot of money to get started right now.
No.
Because as long, I mean, you can reach millions of people on the online, it just means you have to work harder. So for that person, that entrepreneur that's out there saying, I have this great idea,
and I
want to do this, and I want to do that, but I'm scared. What piece of advice do you have? And I think you already gave it to them, but.
Let me tell them something else. Yeah. So listen to me. So I'm going to look at your eyes. If you're looking at the video, maybe if you're listening to our recording, audio recording only. So nobody in the world, nobody has the exact same experience that you have had. Nobody. There's nobody like you. There's nobody that has learned the lessons, tough lessons that you have learned in your life. Nobody. It doesn't exist. And there's someone out there that needs to know that story of yours, because that's going to inspire them and it's going to help them thrive in their lives. And it's going to help them get out of the rabbit hole where they are right now. Very often, and it happened to me, even with this incredible story that I have, it happened to me, honestly, believe it or not, I was so comfortable that I believed that I wasn't worth the experience and the services that they wanted to provide. It wasn't worth to offer my services to anybody until I realized that my experience itself makes me unique. So you that you're listening to me, your experience is second to none. Nobody has it. And there's people out there that need to know that experience. And with your story, with what you have done, with your experience, you're able to help people in a very specific way. I don't like to consider that we compete against each other. I really don't believe in competition, rather in collaboration. You know, I have trained literally hundreds of people in sales, hundreds. And many people were asking me at the end of the course, hey, Mr. Angel, hey, you know what? I think that leads is the most important thing. I need leads, you know, in order to create sales I need leads, but I only have like 200 or 300 leads to start with. What am I going to do when I run out of leads? And I said, I think that you're asking yourself the wrong question. And even if you're asking yourself the wrong question, that the right question would be, how can I find more leads? I always would answer the question, well, whenever you run out of leads, you come to me and I give you 1,000 more leads to look after. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, as you are unique, not everybody, not even myself, I cannot serve everybody. There's always going to be people out there that will be not served by me, but other people that will resonate with you and not with me, regardless of my level of expertise and experience. It doesn't matter. People buy from people. People buy from people. So there's people out there that are going to resonate with you, resonate with who you are, with your experience, with your unique talents, and are going to buy from you the service or the product that you're going to, that you might be, you know, open to offer to them. That's the main piece of advice I would like to give them. Don't underestimate yourself. You are infinitely powerful and you are an unstoppable divine being. That's who you are. And you are here to help others. That's what we're here for. There's always going to be out there people that only you can serve. Only you can serve. And by being you and by being present is that you will be able to find them. And today, what I'm doing today, that I'm, I don't know, Ed is kind enough to interview me. What I'm doing is the same as many authors. I show up in interviews to know what I know. To know what I know. The same as people when they write. People write to know what they know. Start writing. Start writing what you know. And you will see that you will start attracting an audience. And it is what it is. And you can, there's nothing you can do to avoid what I just said. As soon as you start, you know, writing and you start exposing these on social media outlets, as you suggested before, people will start being attracted by you. You just have to be persistent. And you will start gathering an audience, and you will be able to start offering your products and services.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you, Angel. That's a great piece of advice. So now here's the opportunity. You talked about, I'm assuming, I didn't know this about you. I don't remember.
Tell me.
So are you an author? Do you have some books that you've written?
No, I haven't. I have helped write 2 books, okay. But I'm not an author. Thank you for asking. Thank you.
Okay. I was all like, wow, wait, how did I miss that?
Okay. No, it's okay. Thank you.
So Angel, okay. In closing, how do people seek your services? How do we find you? Plug yourself. Let us know how we can find you.
Thank you. Yeah. As I said before, you know, I literally publish posts every single day on social media. You can find me everywhere in social media. My most favorite outlet is LinkedIn. I have more than 27,000 connections. 82% of those are senior executives from large corporations. And, you know, basically I help both, you know, as I said before, accomplished entrepreneurs or starting a startup CEOs. I help them to really get into corporate America, get to in touch with this, you know, audience that I serve. So if you want to reach out to me, the easiest way is you can, you know, literally go to the message box on LinkedIn, look for my name, Angel Ribo. Ribo is spelled like R-I-B as in boy O, Angel Ribo. And you can also send me an email. My name is very simple. My email address is angel@angelribo.com. Either myself or my team are always there to answer. So I guarantee you that you will receive a response from me anytime. And again, thank you very much, Eddie, for the opportunity. And thank you, everybody who's listening to us today.
No, Angel, thank you. I need to have you back on the show because there's a lot more we need to talk about.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I had a blast. So thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen, the CEO confidant himself. You heard it here. So we'll see you all next time.
Written by retired chief of police, internationally recognized leadership expert and entrepreneur, Jesus Campa, comes the exciting detailed book Unmasking Leadership, What They Don't Tell You. This book is written based on Jesus Campa's experiences in hopes of helping prepare the future leaders of tomorrow and the leaders of today who feel trapped in a world where perception is reality. Perception may be king, but doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do will set you free. Pre-order your hardcover copy of Unmasking Leadership today and receive it signed by Jesus Campa on July 4th. You won't want to miss out on this book written by leadership expert Jesus Campa. Pre-order your copy of Unmasking Leadership, What They Don't Tell You, pre-order today at leadingthroughadversity.com.